You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Perhaps the most important Kiyum HaMitzvah we have to do from the time of Rosh Chodesh Elul up until including Yom Kippurim, and that is discuss the concept and the parameters of the Yisod of doing tshuva, of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact is, when the Rambam categorized this in his mitzvos, Sefer HaMitzvos, and then formulates it when it comes to the halachic application of how, in fact, you perform a mitzvah tshuva, the Rambam is very, very emphatic that when it comes to doing tshuva, the mental activities, which the Rambam mentions, that a person first has to have charata, feel bad about what you did. He has to make an emotional realization that to go forward, he has to aziva sachet, he has to forsake and not want to do this type of avera anymore. And in order to buttress this, there's a require of Kabbalah ala asid, taking upon himself or herself not to return to this type of lifestyle of sinful behavior in the future. The Rambam goes as far as to say is that even though he requires not only mental, emotional feelings about these concepts, but the Rambam is makbid, you have to articulate. You have to say what you're saying in a verbal fashion. The concept of saying vidui is a manifestation of trying to mention every possible chait that you could have violated and articulate the chait shechaton lefanecha with the hope and aspiration that once you have the hakara sachet and you have the charata and the ziva sachet in your mind, to really give it tangible substance, you have to articulate it and verbalize it, because when you say something verbally, it makes it a much more substantive machshava, much more substantive ratzon on your part. I'm verbally telling everybody, I want to return, I want to do tshuva, I'm telling it to myself. It gives it a concrete format. So the tshuva has to be done not only mentally with machshava, it must be articulated as such. And that's the way the minhag of Klal Yisrael is when it comes to the way the machzorim for the Yom HaRoim have been written. The concept of continual articulation, achet shechaton lefanecha, all the various tilos and piyutim we recite during the entire time period, the slichas we recite, all are involved with the process of not only mental conviction of doing tshuva, but the verbalization of this as the ultimate format of the ultimate kiyum of the specific mitzvah. What I want to discuss today in the tshuva process, from a historical and then ultimately a halachic, pragmatic level, is the way my dear Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, the Gedolei Hadar of our generation, how he dealt in a unique fashion in explaining the various ramifications of how tshuva is done, what tshuva accomplishes. In fact, one of his younger followers and one of his colleagues in the field ultimately took the Rav's tshuva drushes, which were very famous, and compiled them into a sefer called Ahlat Tshuva, where he basically articulates all the major themes that we have when it comes to tshuva and Yom HaRoim. What I'm going to share with you today is one of those specific written dissertations, which he explains certain parts of the tshuva process which require little more intense understanding, more than I just mentioned when it comes to the ultimate processes which everybody mentions when it comes to how you come to do tshuva. But there are certain parts of the tshuva process that have to be understood, both on a nigla level, on a nister, a kabbalistic level. So please listen carefully as I give you his brilliant machshava when it comes to this topic, and therefore this will give us the abilities where in the beginning of Chodesh Elul to start processing what we have to do to reach the ultimate level of tshuva me'ava, tshuva connecting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch on such a level that the Gemara says, as I'm going to mention later on, when you do tshuva me'ava, the entire avera disappears from the face of this earth, and in fact it becomes a schus for you. I'll explain those mechanical phenomena later on. So let's get into the topic. The concept of tshuva, Chazal tell us midrashically, was created by Rabbanu Shalom even at the beginning of Briyat Olam. Hashem realized that human beings are going to be a bus of Adam, where a connectivity of an animalistic physical existence together with the divine Selma Elokim, and in that specific package, this continual tension between our spiritual Selma Elokim part, which almost like makes us close to an angelic entity, and our physical animalistic tendencies, which bring us close to the animal kingdom, this continual tension between the two. Our nesayin is to make sure that our spiritual Selam Elokim, Neshama, should be able to overpower the animalistic tendencies, and therefore make sure with that being Kovesh Es HaYetzer, being able to make sure HaYetzer Tov has mastery over the Yetzer Hara, and gears both of them in a positive direction in our Avodas Hashem in this specific world. When it comes therefore to Tshuva, Tshuva was not only given to the Jewish people, but Chazal point out from the very beginning of Briyas Olam, that Rabbeinu Shem emphasized to Adam and to Chava, even after the Chet of the Eitz Adas, Toivera, and later on when it came to the Machlokas, unfortunately, that took place between their children, Cain killed Hevel, that Rabbeinu Shem mentioned to him the ability for him to do Tshuva. Tshuva was mentioned over and over again, when it came, quite obviously, to the destruction of Sodom v'Amorah. Avram promised that perhaps they could have the people of Sodom v'Amorah doing tshuva and save them from divine destruction. The tefillos, Avram was mispalel to try to accomplish this. One of the most famous narratives in the Tanakh text of tshuva and the power of tshuva, we happen to read, believe it or not, at the end of the Yom Kippur day of Avodas Hashem, we're davening, we're involved in Avodah for a 24-hour period of time, we're fasting, it's the most powerful holy day of the year besides Shabbos Kodesh. At the end of the day, as we're coming to Mincha, we read at Mincha a very interesting Haftarah called Mafti Yomer. And in that Mafti Yomer, the Navi Yonah is coming to give a divine prophecy to the members of the Nineveh community, a totally non-Jewish community, that Hashem is giving them the following declaration, that if you don't do tshuva, I'm going to destroy the entire Nineveh community, lock, stock, and barrel, men, women, and child, everything that exists over here. And when the Melech of Nineveh hears this besurah of prophecy, he takes it to heart. He basically tells his people, we have to do tshuva, we have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we really want to repent, or else our entire nation of Nineveh is going to be destroyed. You see mass tshuva taking place, people changing their clothes to sackcloth, fasting and crying and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the end of this specific narrative, the whole city of Nineveh does tshuva, and the gezeira to destroy this specific city is totally eradicated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show you that the power of tshuva not only works for Klal Yisrael, it works for the Umos HaOlam as well, for the nations of the world. That is why, ultimately speaking, when it comes to the various chazyonos, the various types of nevuos mentioned by Yeshayahu HaNavi and others concerning the end of days when it comes to the Messianic era, the Melchemes Gog HaMagog will basically be the vehicle with which those who are enemies of Hashem, enemies of Klal Yisrael, will be eradicated from the face of this earth with that very, very powerful Muhammad described in Sefer Zechariah and the Sefer Yecheskel. Those Goyim who want to repent and do tshuva will be allowed to do such, who want to live in peace with Klal Yisrael and want to forsake the idolatries or the false gods they worship and become pure monotheists, pure B'nai Noach, being Oyved Hashem, serving Hashem with total sincerity, that Hashem Hu Elokim, that God is our God, Hashem Echad, God is going to be the only God recognized in the world at the end of days, as Rabbi Kiva said to his Tamidim before he passed away in the narrative of him undergoing death al Kiddush Hashem. The concept of Achdus HaBori will be realized at that time. The central location of prayer for the entire world, as Yeshayahu Navi says, Ki Basi Bais Tefila Yikar Al Kor Amim, the only place of prayer that the Goyim will go at that point in time will be to the Beis HaMikdash. They'll come to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'll bring Karbanos together with Klal Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash. So the concept of a worldwide tshuva taking place at the end of time is in the entire narrative of showing you how powerful tshuva it is, not only for the Jewish world, but even for the non-Jewish world as well. The concept I want to discuss today is the following. I already mentioned, you know, how you do tshuva, as I alluded to before, the concept of hakara sachet, charata, aziva sachet, kabbalah ala osa. These are mechanical things that you think about, rectifications you have to articulate, as I mentioned before. But at the end of the day, I want to go a little deeper into this specific concept. And the question I pose is, number one, how powerful is tshuva when it comes to eradication of the chet of the past? That's question number one. Number two, you have to take in consideration the fact that when we had a Beis HaMikdash, in Parshas Achrimos and the Gemara in Yoma, we have an entire narrative of Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh that describe what we had to do, especially the Kohen Gadol, with his assistants to do an Avodas Yom HaKippurim for Kapara, for Klal Yisrael, for the world at large. I mean, this was a major Avodah. Who knows how many Karbanos were brought that day? How many times the Kohen had to be tevel himself when he went Lefnai Lefnim into the Kiddush Kadoshim, which is the only time of the year he was allowed to enter there to perform the various Avodas mentioned in the Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh? We got a problem. As powerful as that Yom Kippur was with all the Avodas HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol and such, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash at this point in time. The Avodas Yom HaKippurim is not being performed. So how do we have a substantive, powerful tshuva with total kapara today without the existence of a Beis HaMikdash? This is something you have to think about. True, we read about it and we talk about it when it comes to the Machzeh, which has various narratives describing the Avoda. But at the end of the day, not one carbon is being brought. So how effective is our tshuva in Yom Kippur b'zman hazeh? The third question I'm going to ask is tshuva mitzvah seisha azman grama? Is it a zman grama mitzvah? Tshuva is a mitzvah that can be done 24/7, 365 days a year. If that's the case, if it's such a type of activity that's not dependent on time and place, so the question I want to pose is, what is so special with the concept of the Yomim Noroyim, where from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we look upon this as the time of doing tshuva, the time of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's so special and unique to the Aseres HaMeya tshuva culminating in Yom Kippur? Why is that tshuva process different than the tshuva process we do Kol HaShanah Kula? So these questions I want to pose. And one more area of question is, how do we reach the high levels of tshuva gemura, total tshuva, that we're supposed to reach when it comes to our attempts to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So with these questions in mind, let's get to the task of explanation and show you what my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, did to give us a deeper understanding of this concept. He first points out something quite interesting. He first points out that the concept of doing tshuva, the concept of Rosh Hashanah, we always unfortunately think it's a Jewish holiday alone. But the fact of the matter is, when you look in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, it tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, you think only the Jews are judged on Rosh Hashanah? The whole world, every human being on the face of this earth, passed in front of the Kisei Kavod Hashem as sheep being counted. So we see that Rosh Hashanah, in many respects, is a universal day of divine judgment of Kol HaOlam Kulo, of the entire universe. We have to realize as Jews, when we're praying in Rosh Hashanah for Hashem to grant tshuva and grant kapara and such, we're not just praying for ourselves. We're praying for the entire existence and kiyum of the entire universe. every person on the face of the universe that really wants to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a universal Yom Tov, a repentance and kapara and tshuva and prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I therefore tell some of my non-Jewish friends, on our Rosh Hashanah, you should pray privately to your God, to God, to, that he should basically forgive you, because all of us are being judged on this specific day. Very important factor. What the Rambam himself, also, to buttress one of the questions I just posed, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, even though the tshuva and tzaka yafal oilam, even though tshuva and crying to Hashem is always efficacious, you can accomplish something, that when it comes to doing tshuva during these 10 days, it is more powerful. And not only that, the acceptance of the tshuva is guaranteed to take place immediately if you do the process properly. You seek out Hashem when Hashem is ready and waiting for us at that point in time to return to him. And then he says very, very explicitly, I want you to know the following. He says that when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, another interesting statement, who's a man, tshuva l'chol yachid, or rabim, is a time of tshuva for every individual, for every tzibor, who kates mechila v'slich l'Yisrael. It's the time of the finality of the ultimate forgiveness and the ultimate willingness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgo what we did in the past. It's the case, it's the climax for Mechila Klich Vasrael. Therefore, people have to be very careful, Tzrichin, therefore us to be Chayovim HaKol, Lasesh Tshuva, to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur, Lesvadus V'Yom HaKippur, and to articulate, as I mentioned before, because according to the Rambam, Tshuva is not only a mental process, it must be articulated. That's why we say so many viduyim, from Erev Yom Kippur to the nights of Yom Kippur to the day and the afternoon of Yom Kippur, we're continuously articulating our tshuva in a verbalization called the concept of the mitzvah of vidui. But now we come, and this buttresses the questions I posed before, what happens bizman hazeh when we don't have a base of Migdash to complement and supplement our tshuva and Yom Kippur? So says the Rambam something fascinating. Bizman hazeh shein beis hamikdash kayim. In our period of time when we don't have a beis hamikdash, ein lanu mizbach kapara, we don't have a mizbeach upon which to do the avoda. What do we have to give us kapara for our tshuva Yom Kippur? Ein sham ela tshuva. Tshuva is a powerful force if it's done properly. What does it have the power? Shatshuva mechaperes akol averos. Tshuva causes the kapara on all the sins we performed. Afila rasha kol yamav. Even though a person, Rachman al-Islam, might have been a rasha their entire life. V'asa tshuva bachron and does tshuva at the end. Ein maskirin shemdava merisho. The Bezdin Shalmaila will literally erase any negative spiritual activities of the past. Shenema Rishas Harosho La Yakoshalbo Biyom Shuva Mirisho. And then the Rambam says, the Atzmo Shayom HaKippurim Mechaper, the actual essence of the time frame of the day Yom Kippur, is a form of receiving kapar, experiencing, believe it or not, the spiritual essence of the Kedusha, the sanctity that emanates from the Yom Tov of Yom Kippurim, Lashavim, for those to repent, there are certain spiritual rectifications taking place. Shenemar, Ki b'yoyim hazeh yechapa aleichem. We're going to talk more about this pasuk very shortly. This day, the ultimate finality of the kapara takes place. What that means and how that's accomplished, you're also going to learn about in the next couple of minutes itself. What's interesting to note in contrast to this is that in the same Masechtes Yoma where these Mamari Chazal are brought down and these source materials are mentioned, there's another source there that's called the Dalit Chalukei Kapara, a very famous narrative between Tanoim, a discussion that they heard from the Roman Talmidei Chachamim, that the four different levels, Halacha Lamasa, of what happens, of different averos, how the tshuva and kapara takes place. If you do a mitzvah aseh, the Gemara says, that doesn't have any chiyuv karis with it, or pure mitzvah aseh, you do tshuva and you accomplish what you wanted to do to get kapara. If, however, you violate a mitzvah lo aseh, which is a chiyuv lav, a chiyuv malchus, but it doesn't have any mitzvah bezdin, it doesn't have any chiyuv karis, there you have to have, besides tshuva, you have to have an addition of Yom Kippur to finish off the job. What happens if you violate a mitzvah aseh v'lo aseh? There's a chi of kares or a chi of mises bezdin for violation of it. There the Rambam says, you need to do tshuva, you need Yom Kippur, and also yisurim physical, the elements that are thrown upon you momentarily to finish off the job from that tsar of that element, to ma'ura you, to cleanse you, to basically give you kapara. And finally, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, which says, if a person violated sin that caused a chilel shem shemayim, a chilel Hashem, once you have a chilel Hashem, a publication of your sin in a public format, what happens over there is you got to do tshuva, and you have to do the Yom Kippur service, and you have to, unfortunately, undergo Yisurim in this world. But the ultimate completion of your tshuva and kapara is Misa Mechaperas. You have to die in this world to finish off the tshuva process itself. Misa alone is a mechaper on averus that were done. That's the Shitas HaRambam when it comes to eradicating a chil Hashem. I do want to mention to you that there is Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sharei Tshuva that says that you don't necessarily have to die to mechaper on a chil Hashem. He brings down sources which teach us if a person, because of that chil Hashem, does all the things I mentioned before, tshuva, Yom Kippur, Yisurim, but then he decides or she decides, I want to perform a kiddush Hashem to mechaper on the chil Hashem, to have a life of Kiddush Hashem, counterbalancing the Chil Hashem. Believe it or not, according to Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sefer Shari Tshuva, that will get rid of the chet of the Chil Hashem. He won't have to die to get rid of it. An alternate approach by a different Rishon dealing with the topic. But now I want to pose Rav Soloveitchik's major kasha. It's a kasha in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Bezman is that we have no Beis HaMikdash. Tshuva is mechapi, says, in all the averis in the Torah. Every type of aver you can think of, with karas, without karas, with malchus, asei v'loisa, asei chol Hashem, tshuva is mechap upon everything. So the Rav Soloveitchik asks, if that's the case, and that's the Mizbach Kapara today, how in the world do you therefore have the metzias of the Dala Chalukah Kapara, with the Gemara and Yomush, the Raman quote, seems to say that tshuva and Yom Kippur are not sufficient for everything. You need Yisurim, according to Rami, sometimes need Misa. I mean, it seems to say that it's not very easy just to do Tshuva and Yom Kippur and just wipe everything off the face of the map. It depends upon the level of the Chet. How do you reconcile the Rami that says that Tshuva and Yom Kippur are Mechapa upon everything and the Rami that says that no, it depends upon the level of the sin you're violating? What's the reconciliation of this? So comes along Rav Soloveitchik with his genius of interpretation and explanation, and he points out that if you go to another Gemara in Yoma, you find that the Gemara quotes one of the greatest Amoraic Balei Tshuva in the history of Klal Yisrael. The most powerful Amora who became part of the Mesaris of Klal Yisrael when it comes to Torah and Mitzvahs, he's quoted continuously almost every daf in Besechtes, in the Bavli, in the Yerushalmi of the Talmud. His name was Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, in his early life, was not the most proper Jew. He's involved in a gang of individuals who were very, very, very impossible, people who were very dangerous. And one day, he had the schus of meeting Rabbi Yochanan. After speaking to Rabbi Yochanan convinced him that you still are able to do tshuva. Repent, I'll help you, I'll teach you Torah. And Reish Lakish took up Rav Yochanan's request. They became tremendous chavruses. Reish Lakish became Rav Yochanan's most beloved chavrusa. Ultimately speaking, Rav Yochanan married Reish Lakish off to his sister, and the Gemara is full of their discussions, their debates. He was looked upon as one of the most chashuva Amoraic Balei Tshuva in all of Jewish history.
You are
the Gemara
listening
quotes
to
this
Ben's
specific Reish Lakish making the following statement. He says, what's the godless of Tshuva, which he himself performed? Tshuva makes an Avera that's a Zadam, a purposely committed Avera to violate the Torah with a certain amount of willingness to rebel against Hashem. If you do Tshuva, the Tshuva takes the Zadam and basically makes it into a shkog in an accidental, mistaken type of crime, which means Tshuva lessens the severity of the Avera from a Zadam and brings it down to shogeg. It doesn't eliminate, but it makes it a less severe type of crime. A zadon becomes a shogeg. The same Reish Lakish then says in an alternate text, Gedola tshuva, you want to know how powerful tshuva is? He experienced it. That when you do tshuva, what happens? It says, zadon nasik ezochios. The tshuva literally causes a metamorphosis to take place, and somehow it takes its the Zadon Avera and turns it through the tshuva he's talking about into a spiritual merit in your future din in front of the Bezdin Shalmaila. It undergoes a transformation from a Zadon Avera to a tremendous chus that is treated with high sanctity and significance. The Bezdin Shalmaila, when you ultimately judge at the end of your time, so, quite obviously, these two statements are contradictory. How does the Gemara reconcile Reish Lakish's statements? After all, he is the par excellent Baal Tshuva. How do you reconcile what he said? So the Gemara says there's a very logical and cogent reconciliation. When Tshuva is done because of year of fear, fear of divine punishment, what happens over there is that you have a reduction of the severity because you do a real tshuva, sincere tshuva, but you're being coerced because of fear of divine punishment and eradication from the face of this earth. That coerced tshuva, which might be totally sincere, reduces the severity from a zadon down to a shkaga. But when you do a tshuva because of a pure, undiluted, and total sincere love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of your desire to have an Ava with God and reconnect to God on the highest level possible, because you realize the terrible tragedy of your sin, which caused the separation between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to take away that blockage. You want to reconnect to Hashem. You want to be dovek to Hashem. A tshuva ma'ava has the power to remove any blockages of reconnection to Hashem. Not only do you reconnect entirely? Shuvah Hashem Elokech, you're literally turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its entirety. But besides the fact, it eradicates the sin on every level, Zadon and Shogeg, it becomes the spiritual schus for you in the ultimate judgment you're going to have at the end of time in front of Bezdin Shalmaila. So it seems Tshuva Me'ava is a very powerful, it eradicates, obliterates the sin in all its indices, and therefore becomes a schus. That's where it says, Gedola tshuva, that the tshuva of the zadon becomes a zuchuyos. But if you do tshuva because of year and fear, which means inwardly in your mind, you're caught with a dilemma. The sin is sweet. I enjoy it. But I know at the same point in time, my other heartstrings are pulling upon me. You're rebelling against the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're rebelling against the Creator who brought you into this world. And therefore you decide, I got to be Kavish my Yetzer, and therefore do tshuva. I don't want to be punished. I don't want to be eradicated. I want to continue my life and live as a spiritual person, despite the fact the tension of Chet is still pulling on my heartstrings in my mind. In that case, since it's in a certain respect coerced because of fear of punishment, the most tshuva does, it reduces the severity from a zadon down to a shogeg, and you judge in Shemayim accordingly. It lessens the severity of the crime and lessens, therefore, the punishment you get for performing that crime. This is the famous Reish Lakish. Comes along Rav Soloveitchik, and he says, if that's the case, I now can reconcile the stira that was quoted in the Rambam before when it comes to contrasting Shuva and Yom Kippurim being mechapa upon every avera on the face of this earth. No differential in any avera, all are undergoing kapara through that Shuva, mechapa is hakal. And the Rambam talking about the Dalet Chalukei Kapara mentioned in the Gemara, depending upon the level of the sin you committed. Says the Rambam, when a person does tshuva mi'ava for the right reasons, l'shem shemayim, and literally obliterates his whole machshava, his whole essence of wanting to sin, he's returning to God not because he's fearful of punishment, because he loves Hashem, he wants to connect Hashem. When that's the motivation of doing tshuva, it eradicates everything with the help of Yom Kippur. And the Kedushas Yom Kippur helps complete the job. That's that Rambam. But when a person is a Shuvah because of fear, Yiras Onesh, fear of Hashem punishing you, and maybe eradicating you or getting you sick to the level that you're in a torturous disease the rest of your life, when you're doing that type of Shuvah Meyira, the most Shuvah can do is eliminate the Zadam, the presumptuous, purposeful performance of the Avera to rebel. It will lessen that Avera from a Zadon down to a Shogeg, mitigating the Gzar Din and the punishment that's given to you because having violated it. So depending upon what tshuva you do, that will determine whether the whole sin's eradicated lock, stock, and barrel, or it's basically being diminished from a Zadon down to a Shogeg, because at the end of the day, you are changing what you did, you're bettering your behavioral patterns, you're returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's a coercion, psychological emotion because of punishment. There's a reduction of the sentence from a zon to a shogeg. That's how he resolves that contradiction. But now we come to perhaps one of the most powerful parts of Rav Soloveitchik's analysis of the tshuva. He asks a question which I posed before. The Rambam says tshuva is good kol hashana kula. And think about it, Talmidos. If you do a tshuva mi'ava kol hashana kula, and that eradicates everything, lock, stock, and barrels I just mentioned, that the zodah becomes zechuyos, why in the world do I need the aseres emei tshuva? What's the purpose of Rosh Hashanah? The aseres emei tshuva, Yom Kippurim, the slichas being said, the preparation of Chodesh Elul, which we're now, we start saying slichas, the minhagim of Sfardim and Ashkenazim are different when you start saying slichas, but we're praying and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu intensely during this period of time. We don't do this kol hashana kula. Why is this zman, specifically being Rosh Hashanah and culminating on Yom Kippur, the Rambam says that's the case of Chila v'Slicha, what is so special about the tshuva we do during this period of time, even tshuva mi'ava? If, based upon what I just described to you, tshuva mi'ava could be performed kol hashana kula and complete the job without a problem whatsoever. How do we reconcile and understand this specific statement of the Rambam quoting Midrashi Chazal? So comes on Rav Soloveitchik, and he points out something very crucial. It's very metaphysical, very ruchni, very Kabbalistic in nature, but this is what's brought down by all the Gedolim who deal with the topic. Chaim Volozhin in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim deals with this on a very sophisticated Kabbalistic level. Valatanya, all the Gedolim who deal with this topic are very, very intense. But let me tell you what Rav Soloveitchik said in a very forthright, simple fashion to comprehend what the Aseres HaMei Tshuva is all about and the purpose of Yom Kippur and being the culmination of the process. Says Rav Soloveitchik the following. Well, the Vaishik says, what I want you to know is when a person sins, there are two consequences of what happens when a person sins against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first consequence is that when you sin against God, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, no matter what avera you do, it's an act of rebellion against the Ribbono Shel'Olam who created the universe and created you as a human being living in this universe. As the Mislis Sharm says in many places, if you think about the fact that when you do a sin, you're rebelling against God who made you, and place you in the universe which he created, that rebellion on a theological, philosophical level would really give Hashem the ability to justify destroying you on the spot. You're rebelling against the Rabbeinu Shalom. What chutzpah you have. You should be destroyed on the spot and killed because of rebelling against God. Because without God, you wouldn't be able to survive for 1 minute in this world. When we say, Kol Neshama Takalako, we always say, Al Kol Neshima V'Neshima. Every breath we take, we have to thank Hashem because he's giving us another minute of life on the face of this earth. So we should die. However, the Rabbeinu Shalom is the personification of the concept of Chesed V'Rachamim, Olam Chesed Yabana, Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanan El Chapayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emes, the Yugam Amidais. Because of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Rachmanas, he gave us the mitzvah of tshuva to rectify the sin before we're given divine punishment. So Matana Hashem gave us a mitzvah, created at the beginning of Briat Olam, as I mentioned before. And therefore, the tshuva process prevents the Midas Hadin from killing us on the spot. How does it do it? So the two words that are used by Chazal in explaining the tshuva and kapara process. The word of kapara is used. In fact, when it comes to a pasuk that we recite on the holy day of Yom Kippur, in the Avedas Yom Kippur in the Tfilos, it says explicitly, Ki biyom hazeh yechapa lechem, letar eschem mechol chataseichem, lif nei Hashem taharu. The two major words that are describing what's going on during this specific period of time, when it comes to Yom Kippur, and this really applies, you know, in a certain respect to the rest of the tshuva process as well, you get kapara, but you also zochut to have a concept of tahara. What's the chilah between kapara and tahara? So says Rav Soloveitchik in his unique fashion, the word kapara, having the concept of being getting atonement, has a noun equivalent, and the word is the kapores, which was the cover that covered the top of the Aron HaKodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. What is a cover? A cover protects the contents contained inside from all different types of destruction, contamination. It's a cover. When Hashem says, you do tshuva, I'm giving you kapara, he's encompassing us with a divine protective shield to prevent the Midas Adin from killing us on the spot for having violated Hashem's will and rebelling against Hashem. So if Hashem is encompassing us with the divine protective shield, that the Malach in charge with evicting punishment for our rebellion is not able to reach us because we're protected because of our tshuva process from being hurt by the Midas Adin for the rebellion we had against Hashem. That's kapara. You get kapara by doing tshuva, the Midas Adin will not be able to touch you. Interesting. But there's only one problem, as the Rav goes on. We have to realize that there are elements in this world that sanctify us. There are elements in this world that contaminate us. Mitzvos are sanctification phenomenon. We say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. It sanctifies us. Averis, however, are spiritual contaminants. The concept of doing an Avera takes our Kedusha and contaminates it with spiritual contaminants. Avera is mantantamas libosh adam, it literally contaminates our neshama tahara Hashem gave us and gives it all different types of spiritual contamination. And therefore, when we sin against God, not only are we deserving of divine punishment, which we need kapara for, but we likewise spiritually contaminate our neshama tahara Hashem gave us at the time of our bria, neshama tahara she'nasati b'taharihi. When you do chatayim, we are contaminating the spiritual purity of a neshama and contaminating and putting tumah there, a blockage, a contaminant, a destructive contaminant. How in the world are we able to get rid of this spiritual contamination? Are we humanly capable of doing such? So Chazal tell us, no. When it comes to the spiritual contamination of the neshama, which is a metaphysical entity, there's no physical substance, it's purely ruchni. The only way to purify that neshama is for the Rabbeinu Shalom that gave us the neshama tahara, to take our neshama and to repurify it, reconsecrate it, to literally recycle it, to turn it back to the state of spiritual purity, pristine purity it had before you performed the chet. You need the Rabbeinu Shalom to re-cleanse the neshama, to make it tahar again. We cannot do it with our physical activities. We can take care of the physical impulses and desires we have and gear them in the right direction, show a tshuva gemura, but when it comes to the neshama hatahira, the purification can only be done with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo. But the pasuk I quoted before tells us is Hashem gave this as a gilui to Klal Yisrael and Pashas Achrimos that describes the avodah of Yom Kippurim. Hashem said the following, once again, Ki b'yom hazeh, on this specific day of Yom Kippur, yechap aleichem, you're going to get kapara. The averus you did, if you do averus and you did tshuva mi'ahava, you're going to get kapara, divine protection against the midas adin. It won't touch you. But besides that, letareschem, I'm going to cause the contamination of your neshama to be purified on Yom Kippur. Mikochat esechem, from every sin you commit, no matter how harsh the sin might be, I'll purify you. Lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of Hashem, this tahara will take place. What's lifnei Hashem? When the Kohen Gadol dons his white begadim, his bigdei hazav, and goes lifnei lifnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's standing in front of the Kodesh Baruch and saying to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom, what we have from you on Yom Kippur is something we can't do to Kola Kol Shana Kula. Kapara through tshuva mi'ava, eradicating this sin, making the zechuyos, we can do Kol Shana Kula. But tahara we want. The day you designated in your Torah for that Torah of Anishama to take place is on Yom Kippur. We're standing Yom Kippur. I'm wearing white begadim to show our aspiration is to make Anishama as pure as white as it was Kedem Achet. Lifnei Hashem to Torah. You made the promise of coming to you to beseech you to fulfill the promise of B'yom HaZeh. Not only are you going to have kapar, you're going to have tahara. Lifnei Hashem, I'm going to implement that tahara. So by the time you leave Yom Kippur, not only did you have total kapara, but total tahara as a result of the Aseres HaMetshuva, culminating in the day Yom Kippur. That's why the Rambam says, tshuva is good to call Hashem Akula. You get kapara, eradication of tshuva mi'ava, of the chet becoming a zuhus. But the tahara, that is between Aseres and Metshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah, culminating Yom Kippur. It's the Ketz Mechila V'Slicha. That's when the finality takes place. And that's the power of the Aseres and Metshuva culminating on Yom Kippur. Dear Hashem, Behimatz Hashem made this time frame as a frame in which the total Tshuva process with Kapar and Tahara able to take place with the aegis and help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even without the base of Hamikdash being in existence, tshuva and the concept of Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, which doesn't need karbanos, the sanctity of the day, allows Lifnei Hashem Titaru for the Tahara to take place. That's the reason that we have the emphasis of the Aseres HaMetshuva, Tfilos and Slicha, starting already in Elul, to basically position ourselves and get ourselves in the place that we can not only have Kapara Yom Kippur, but even Tahara. When it comes to the last question I posed, and that is, how do we reach a level of Avat Hashem, that when we do tshuva, we're doing it because of Avat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of just Yiras HaOnesh. So Chaim Volozhin, the great Lithuanian Gadol, who founded the incredible Volozhin Yeshiva, tells us in his incredible sefer, the Nefesh HaChayim, what he says very, very explicitly in his analysis of this, water is metaras from physical contamination. Tumas Anida, Tumas Ames, Tumas Keri, like Klal Yisrael Matar themselves at Har Sinai. But when it comes to the concept of Tara, through the tshuva that we want, of tshuva mi'ava, listen to what he says. Ki ika ha-tshuva ha-shleim ha-mitis, the actual honest-to-goodness tshuva, that's complete, that is a tshuva mi'ava, hu rak al-yidei esek ha-tara karoi, can only be accomplished if you're learning Torah for proper reasons, proper motivations. And it says in Malas HaTorah, Yo'ayiv esamokim, you have love for Hashem. What's going to happen? That Avat Hashem will bring you to do the following. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha will be able to return to the Torah and be willing to perform all the mitzvahs with a loving spirit of desire to connect to Hashem. Hasireinu b'shuv v'shleim afanech, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Aseres and Meir Tshuva that we should have the ability to have such an Aseres of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that love should generate us to do a tshuva mi'ava, where the Zadonis becomes Zachios, and at the same point in time, to be able to Zachar, because the Hisaris of our love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're able to obtain by learning Torah and coming close to Hashem and realizing the godless Habari and the greatness of Hashem with the Kleichem that he gave Klal Yisrael, going back to Briyat HaOlam, Torah is called the Kleichem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the most precious vessel of Hashem that was created in this world. It was the source of the blueprint of Briyat HaOlam. It's the source of our Kedusha, our Tahara. It's a sefer that has in it incredible sanctity and Kedusha. This Torah, with its concepts, its principles, its ideology, supplemented by the Torah Shalapes interpretation of it, if we were learn L'Shem Shemayim, and we therefore look upon this as an incredible document that teaches us how to live a life as a Jew and human being on the face of this earth, for the moment we're created to the last moment on the face of this that we're living. Every facet of our life has mitzvah and concepts of mitzvahs related to it. Hashem doesn't leave anything to just, let you figure it out. Hashem gives us direct directions how to live a chayf of the chaybehem v'loshiyamus behem, what's the lifestyle we have to have in order to pick the right one, to live and survive and thrive and have the maximum enjoyment and benefit of the olam that the Rabban Hashem created for us. The source of this is learning Torah. And we learn Torah and see the love and compassion and concern Hashem has for us and all the Torahs God did for Klal Yisrael over the centuries, literally thousands and thousands of years, of the whole world trying to stand up against us. When you see all of this through history, when you look at all the chasodim Hashem does for us in the physicality of the world, the physicality of our bodies, how everything works properly. We have life, we have a mind, we have the ability to function and be constructive in this world in all types of realms. When we have a hakaras of Teif Hashem, the Torah gives us a Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem, as it intensifies, gives us a greater Hakaras HaTov, which leads ultimately to Avat Hashem, if you do it properly, on the highest level. You want to do a Tshuva Mi'ava, you first have to develop an Avat Hashem through the other activities I just mentioned. Studying the Chachmas Hashem contained in the Torah, Masa Bereishis, and the Seer, the Chachma, when it comes to the history of the existence of the world and Klal Yisrael's ability to literally exist in all types of contexts against every type of other logical system, we should have said we are no longer here. We're here, we're thriving, we're going forward. Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. So therefore, Tshuva Mi'av is accomplished when you put your mind to analyzing all the things I mentioned before, especially Torah HaKadosha. That's the way you do Tshuva Mi'ava. And Hashem promised if you do Tshuva Mi'ava, it's mechapa al hakol, no matter how severe the avera might have been, it becomes a non-entity. As if Hashem in his divine computer pushes a delete button and it's erased from your history forever, as if it never existed, as the Rambam says. That's the type of tshuva we want to strive for, the type of tshuva we are aiming for, the tshuva that will bring us very intimately and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest level. Baisid Bakum will develop a devekus between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest level. If you have a life of devekus Hashem, bitachon in Hashem, and you're able to see Hashem in every facet of your existence, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go sleep at night, and you're able to see in retrospect all the chasadim tovus Hashem did for you, despite all the things in this world that perhaps can hamper that specific teva that he did, when you realize all of this, the tshuva you do will be a tshuva of tahara, which means a tshuva not only do you have kapara, but by the time you come to Yom Kippur, you'll be able to have such a tshuva me'ava that you'll be totally purified. Any tumor will be eradicated from your being. You'll exit Yom Kippur, not only with kapara, total expiation of sin as if it doesn't exist, but you'll exit Yom Kippur with a spirit of tahara v'kedusha, to live your life again, once again, unhampered by the klipos and the mechitzos caused by tuma, and therefore live a life of purity, kedusha v'tahara, admeiv esem shana. I hope I shared with you the principles of doing tshuva properly. Tamidim tamidos, we should be zolche, to be able to use the principles I mentioned to reach the highest levels of Kedush and Tara in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and realize that our ultimate aspiration is Ki bayom ezeh yichap aleichem v'tarasem michol chataseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. With our tshuva this year, Klal Yisrael on the whole world level should daven and pray and aspire for this, so by the time Yom Kippur takes place, the Yemos HaMashiach will be a realization. The Mashiach will come, the eradication, the Melchemes Gog Magog of all our adversaries, antisemites around the world, will be eradicated by Hashem Bechvodo Biatzmo, as the Navi promises in Zechariah and Yecheskel. We're able to be zocher to see a total redemption of Klal Yisrael, a kibbutz hagalus of Klal Yisrael from the entire world, a rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael, an expansion of Eretz Yisrael, as Chazal says, is going to take place at the time of Mashiach. We're going to need more room. If all the Jews return to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to expand your borders. The Eretz Yisrael will be the place not only of the seven nations in Parshas Maaseh, it'll be the place of the 10 nations promised to Klal Yisrael, to Avram Avinu, in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Sheyavo Beis HaMikdash, Yibonah Beis HaMikdash, Lashon Haba, Yerushalayim HaBanuya, and next year, we should give all these Yeshurim in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, in Eretz Yisrael, with Kabbalas Panim HaShiach, B'Shalva, B'Sheket, we should have total Menuchas HaNefesh for Klal Yisrael, Shibud Malchus should be destroyed, and live in an era of total spiritual beauty, spiritual peacefulness, the whole world that's still left, who decide to become friends of the Jews, and worship only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will have the Beis Tefillah of the Beis HaMikdash. It'll be a different type of world entirely.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.